I think anyone should would be willing to dye their hair blonde to meet Harry Styles.
Yeah, TV is not what it seems. It's very business-like. I think that's what surprised me.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN.
I am here with wonderful Anna. She's part of our Alumni Month special.
Alumnus is singular. Alumnus,
maybe. Google it and like insert myself saying it properly.
Okay, yeah. Good idea.
Anyway, Anna graduated last year. We've had a couple graduations.
I have had a couple graduations. I just can't leave Nottingham.
But you left our station last year.
Yes.
Yes. And last year you were the head of daytime.
So that is correct.
Very important person.
Very important. Most important role in the station, to be honest.
I've heard, Izzy Hunter's told me that, you know. I want to start with life at uni first, and then I want to talk about what you've been up to afterwards, because you're still very involved in radio and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Or at least media general. So how did you first join URN? Why did you join URN in the first place?
So when I joined in first year, that was 2018, which is terrifying, 5 years ago. I made friends in halls quite quickly, and we just became like one little group. So societies and sports, I'm not a very sporty person. It was never really on my mind. I felt like I'd sort of met my people. I'd made friends on my course, on geography. So I was pretty happy. And then COVID happened. And you get to the end of second year and you're suddenly like, oh, this time next year, I'll have graduated. What am I going to be doing? Panic, panic. And I'd always sort of joked to my family and friends that I wanted to be a weather girl.
The dream job, honestly.
The dream job. To go on Strictly Come Dancing. Like, that was my, like,
You wanted to go on Strictly, so your weigh-in was weather girl.
So I was like, I want to be a weather girl. Like, that was the dream. And I was doing geography, so it's all sort of relevant. Yeah. And my mum just one day turned around and was like, well, why don't you actually like think about it seriously? Like, it's not unrealistic. Like, you could be a weather girl.
Yeah,
if you
someone has to be the weather girl.
Someone has to do it. So I quickly looked into the student radio and NSTV, and I felt more drawn towards URN because I'm a big fan of like BBC Breakfast on Radio 1 and all that sort of stuff. So got back into my third and final year and sent off my demo to the lovely Holly Madden, and she took me on, and so that's how I started in URN.
So we started the same year then?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's kind of weird because like I think being a third year and joining a society can be quite daunting because you think like everyone's going to be a fresher and you're going to be the oldest one there and everyone's already really settled in their groups, but like URN wasn't like that at all. Like, I was immediately like welcomed in and made friends with everyone so easily. It was lovely.
Oh, that's so good. I do feel like with there is that thought of societies of like, oh, you know, if I don't join my first year, I can't join at all. But then like having actually kind of been through it, you realize that most people join their second year, because most people in their first year just have their like halls friends or whatever.
Exactly.
I didn't, because I had COVID. Aww. So it was a little bit different. So I needed radio to like, it was my excuse to like every 4 weeks get out of my house when we could use the we rotated who could use the studio out of the four of us with Freako Frenzy, so we were one at a time. It was very funny. So you did daytime in your first year. Were you by yourself?
I was by myself.
How was that? Did you want to be by yourself?
I was. When Holly asked me, I said I was open to having a co-host, I think, on my form, because it was all COVID. I hadn't met Holly in person or anything, and she put me on my own, and I was like, oh my god, like she thinks I can do it on my own. I'm so like, I'm honored. So I turned up on my first day and Louis Griffin was in the office, and I just looked at him and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, please can you help me set up? And he was so lovely, and and I just did my show. I had all my friends at home listening, and it was really nerve-wracking, but like you just get into the swing of it, and I was just like, this is really cool, I'm obsessed.
And then you fell in love with it.
And then I fell in love with it.
And then at what point did you decide, you know what, this is a career choice, this is what I want to do, and then chose to do them, because you went to, we haven't said yet, you went to Trent, did a master's in broadcast journalism, if I'm not incorrect.
Yes.
So what was the like turning point when you went, okay, yeah, sure, this is what I'm doing now?
So I think it got to January, February time. I was doing my dissertation and I was thinking, what am I going to do next? And I was like, I'm loving radio. Like, I don't want this to just be a hobby. I'd like this to be a career. And I knew a few people on URM were doing the master's in broadcast journalism. So I looked into it and I thought that sounded really cool. And I spoke to a careers advisor at UniOv and he was sort of like, you could do the master's, but I would use it as a backup. I would still apply for jobs because you don't necessarily need the master's if you want to go into radio or TV. So I just did a bit of applying, didn't get anywhere with any jobs because I don't think I had enough experience really, because I'd only been at URN, what, 6 months. So I thought if I do the master's in broadcast journalism, I can apply to be on committee for URN for the following year. I can just get a bit more experience under my belt and have a bit more understanding about how the world of radio works, because I was still COVID times, so I was just coming to a studio every week and doing my show and going home again. There wasn't much like interaction with other people and seeing what they were doing next and things like that. So that's how I decided. And I really love Nottingham, so I did want to stay another year.
Yeah. Do you feel like you made the right choice?
Definitely. I think with being like COVID times as well, I felt like I lost a year of uni. And I needed that extra year to catch up. I wasn't ready to be employed in the real world. And I learned so much. Like the master's was like, I don't want to say it, but I think I did enjoy it more than my undergrad at UniOv. But I don't know. It was just the best year. I had such a good group of people to work with. And COVID restrictions being lifted, I could meet all the URM people as well. And taking on head of daytime, it was just like, everything was sort of slotting into place, and it just felt really good.
Oh, that's great. And it's nice to hear from, I don't know if I've said this, hopefully, depending on what I get on my end of year exam results, because these exam results are going to be the decider of my final grade overall, which is stressing me out, what I end uni with. But hopefully that all goes well and I will be doing it next year. So it's fun to talk to like you, and I've been talking a lot to Izzy Hunter about like what the course is like, what they've like, she's done with it, was it worth it? And my mum, as soon as I came to uni, said to me, do a master's degree, because you've lost that year of uni. If you don't, you'll probably kick yourself because you'll wish you've done like stayed a bit longer. So I've always been like, hey, do a master's. I hate my degree right now. I don't hate it. I'm really trying to do this like positive mindset of like, I don't hate it. But now, I mean, you mentioned you did geography for your undergrad. Now that you've gone into something completely different, do you wish you had changed? Like if you could go back in time to your like 18-year-old self, would you tell them to apply to a different course? Or do you think it was like the sort of journey you needed, I guess?
I think it was the journey I needed. I knew I wanted to go to UniOv Nottingham, and I wasn't sure at the end of sixth form what I wanted to do. And I knew I liked geography A level, so I was just like, I'm just going to pick a subject that I know I like.
Yeah.
Geography at uni is very different to geography A level, as I quickly realised. So I did struggle a little bit. I didn't quite click with geography as well as I thought I would. The human side of geography ended up being more interesting and a bit easier to write about than all the rocks and climate change and things.
I'm not surprised.
Physical geography, which I thought I loved. No, I don't think I would change it. I think I met some great people, and I think Nottingham's quite like a prestigious university to go to. It's a good uni. Not to diss Trent or anything.
No, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, there are many things we say about Trent that maybe can't be said on air. No, it's a great uni. It's a great uni. And now you've done both, you can kind of hold your hand and be like, yeah, I did both of them. But it's quite nice, I guess, that you're like, yes, guys, I went to Trent, but I did my undergrad somewhere else. So, see, I'm really clever.
Yes. Well,
not that if you go to Trent, you're not clever.
No. Nothing. We might have to edit quite a lot of this. But no, you can do broadcast journalism as an undergrad at Trent.
Yes.
But I just think having those 3 years of doing something else makes you more certain that it's definitely what you want to do. And also the master's is just those 3 years condensed into one, and I think spreading it over 3 years, I don't know if that's a good thing. I think it might have to be pretty certain that that's what you want to do. And I think at 18, knowing you want to do radio presenting or TV presenting or writing for like scripts and things, so for the radio, it's a big decision to make at that age.
It's a very bold decision to make as well, because I feel like most people I've spoken to have said stuff along the lines of, well, I didn't even know radio existed when I was 18. You know what I mean? Like, obviously they know it existed, but to do, even as like a society at uni, it wasn't on a lot of people's cards. So it's like the people that knew what they wanted to do when they were like 12 years old and actually do that scare me so much.
Yeah, I'm like,
I know people like that, and I'm like, how did you have a goal and you kept to it? I was the kind of kid that was flip-flopping every like 6 months. I had a new dream.
I was like, I was going to be a dentist at one point. Mm. Now I'm just like, I could never be a dentist, ever.
There's a really like poignant moment of when I was about 4 or 5, and my friend's parents were vets. And I went home one day and I told my mum I want to be a vet, because my friend wanted to be a vet. So I was like, I'm going to be a vet. Mm-hmm. And this was like the first time I realised that maybe I couldn't do anything in the world, because my mum, in the nicest way, went, that's great if that's what you want to do. You are scared of animals and you hate the sight of blood. Like, even as a 5-year-old, I was, you know, a little bit of blood, like scrape on my knee and I'd be like almost fainting. Kind of, it was ridiculous. And I was like, that's great, I'll support, you know, if you want to do that, we'll support you, but are you sure?
Yeah.
And I think I just have stuck with that ever since.
Being a vet isn't just cuddling animals,
no.
Unfortunately.
Even then, I was terrified of everything when I was like 5 years old. I'd walk past dogs in the street and just like jump, because it would just, anyway. Oh, it's something that's really stuck with me. And I'm like, I can do anything, but doesn't mean I should do it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah, I wanted to be a teacher for a very long time, but yeah. I could not have the patience.
No.
Now I did some work experience when I was 16 in a primary school, and I was just like, this has put me off for life. I was 16 and I was like, I can't.
If you're 16 and being put off it, then again, it's probably not the one to spend like what, 30-40 years, even more, 50 years kind of in your working life doing.
A lot of respect for teachers being able to handle children.
Especially when they're little.
Uh-huh.
Like, the patience.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely not. But now you are in the big adult world.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
So when I was finishing my master's, I knew a few people going on to various grad schemes and things like that. And I sort of looked at journalism and I was like, I don't think journalism is exactly what I want to do. I loved it, but I couldn't really see myself doing it as a full-time career. And I really liked TV and radio production. So I applied for jobs in both. And then one day I joined a Facebook page called Runners in TV. And a job advert came up for a receptionist position. And the idea was you could be a receptionist at this TV production company, but you get to run on anything that they produce.
Oh, amazing.
So I applied and I got the job. So I literally moved home from uni, and like 3 weeks later I was employed, which is like a massive blessing.
That's a
blessing.
Great turnaround, yeah.
Very good turnaround. I've been there ever since. I've moved up to office runner now. But yeah, it's gone a bit quiet in the office. We haven't really got anything in production, but it's a nice 9-to-5 earning money.
Yeah, you still have something to
do.
It's
definitely
not like you're waiting around between, I mean, obviously the productions, but not too much waiting.
Yeah, but I still keep radio as a hobby. I'm still a weekend travel presenter at my local station. So
lovely.
Still keeping my foot in radio.
Is TV now, would you say, your first love out of the two? Or
I think TV's more glamorous. Mm. I think doing broadcast journalism, what I enjoyed was like entertainment reporting. And you didn't get a lot of opportunities to do that on a student course, because you're not going to be going to red carpets and press junkets as a student. So that's what I was interested in. So if I was going to do the journalism route, I would have wanted to do that. And I think you do get a bit more of that with TV, but I don't know, radio, I prefer being behind the microphone, but TV, I wouldn't want to be in front of the camera, I've decided.
Yeah.
So I love them both for different reasons.
Is it the camera itself? Is it having to watch yourself back that you're like, absolutely not?
It's really hard. Like, I mean, if you do the masters, you're learn how to present yourself on camera, but you just have a lot more to think about because you need to make direct eye contact, you're worried about what your hands are doing and like your posture, whereas radio, it's just the microphone, no one can see you, no one cares what you look like. it was just a lot harder to focus, and you're more conscious of what you're doing and saying. I think it's just more relaxing doing radio.
I feel like radio, you can hide your mistakes a lot better, because I know half the time I'm like sneezing or coughing there, and you just kind of put the slider down and just have a coughing fit for a moment. On TV, that wouldn't be the same.
No, it wouldn't go down,
especially
well.
If it's live. You can't really just cough. Yeah, fair enough. I like that. I do love radio. I love having a microphone.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm also sitting here with holding the microphone because the stand is broken. But also because I enjoy holding the microphone. It makes me feel important.
Yeah, you're the host.
Yes.
Yes.
I am indeed. I have a couple questions that I ask everybody, and I'm going to ask you one of those now. If you were to go on a show like Mastermind, something like that, so we're talking quiz show, and you had to have a specialist subject, what do you think yours would be?
Oh, I feel like it would be Love Island.
Would it?
Yeah, I'm addicted. I'm like, if I keep working in TV production, like my dream show is to work on Love Island. I would like to be out in Spain for 3 months.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
And
I never even thought about the fact you get to be in Spain during summer.
Yeah. You get to, I'd be a runner on it. I'd be sweaty, but... Yeah,
you'd get a great tan.
You would get a great tan. But yeah, probably Love Island. I've watched nearly every series. I didn't think I watched the first series, but...
I have seen the first series. I watched the first series and not the second series. For some reason, and it was amazing. It was very much old school reality TV finding its feet. It was completely different to what it is now. Most of the shots were them smoking
and doing other things,
which you cannot show on TV.
No, you cannot show.
Now they care about the contestants' well-being, mental health,
which is good.
Yeah, but the original Love Island ended in a proposal, like a full-on marriage proposal.
I remember seeing that clip, but I'm sure I could watch it and catch up quite quickly. Yeah, that would be my...
Have you started watching this year's?
Yes, of course.
I only noticed it happened today. Has it been going for a week or
something? Yeah, it started Monday.
Yes. I don't know why. My Instagram seems to have muted the Love Island notifications. And then today I got one post and then I got hundreds. And they're all like 3 days ago, 5 days ago, so...
I always find the first week you're just getting to know them. So it's not super exciting. You need to tune in a few weeks and then it's all kicking off and who's coupling up with who, and Casa Ramor comes along and just throws a spanner.
Always happens. Oh, I still remember the first time they did Casa Ramor and how shocked everyone was, and that was... now they go in expecting it and they know what's happening, you know, they know, sometimes they know how to play it as well, but the first Casa Ramor ever was some of the best TV that's ever happened.
So dramatic. I love it.
I love it so much. Which has been your favorite season? Or do you have like a favourite person or couple that have been on there?
I did like Tasha and Andrew last summer. They were my winning couple.
A bit rogue. I've never heard someone say that, I don't think.
I actually did a bit of work experience at Capital Breakfast and Coco was the guest when I was there. So I got some insider knowledge onto...
Did you get to talk to her?
Not really. I was just sort of lurking, like watching.
Yeah, lurking and listening, like, oh, what you say?
I work here. But that was that whole I licked her or whatever.
Yeah.
Loved that. That was good. But I think, is it series 2 with like Katie McDermott and Olivia Bowen? Like that whole series was chaos, absolute chaos.
Yeah, as I say, the earlier ones are the chaotic ones.
Yeah, the drama, I'd go for that one.
Yeah, fair. I like that. Oh, no one said Love Island yet. I'm glad we've had a Love Island. I've had a... we get a lot of like TV show things, but they're normally like scripted TV.
Yeah, I feel like...
Is reality TV scripted? Who's to say?
I mean, I do know some people who run on Made in Chelsea, and it's crushed my dreams how scripted it is.
I mean, not surprised when I look back at old clips, because who was it? They got married recently, Jamie and Sophie. Mm-hmm. And so I've been seeing a lot of that on like my TikTok and everything, and like the old clips of them. And you just see these people interacting, and I'm like, when I was younger and I watched this, it looked so natural to me. And I'm a little bit older, I go, oh.
Yeah.
And I see what happened there. They might have redone that a couple of times. And I heard Lizzo say when she was on it or something, they were like filming in a club and it was like 10 in the morning.
Yeah, I get the SRO audience ticket thing sent through. And they were looking for people to be in the crowd for another gig that they were filming. And it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. And it's just that. But they were all drinking beer. And I was just like, it doesn't.
I couldn't.
I mean, I could if I really tried.
If you wanted to force me, like, I could, but no.
No, not for me. But it's crazy. I know that Miles, who's causing so much drama in the series, my friend had to be there whilst they filmed him running in a park 3 times. He just had to run back and forth. And she was like, it was just so disappointing. Like, how they had to get all the camera shots. Yeah. And, oh, could you say this again? And yeah, TV is not what it seems. It's very business-like. I think that's what surprised me.
Has like working in it now ruined the watching experience a little bit?
No, I mean, like, it depends what you're watching. Or is it like
a different appreciation of it as well?
I think it's a different appreciation. I mean, I work in unscripted, which, so it's mostly like chat shows is what we do. And I think they film so much more than what you see in the final edit because they pick the best conversations that they've had. So if you're watching it in the audience, it's a great experience because you get to see stuff that doesn't get aired and see how it all works behind the scenes. But I don't know, I think just hearing things about different people, like my boss knows like every celebrity under the sun basically, because I mean, I do the Graham Norton show, so we've got a lot of people come in and out of the doors.
Yeah, you have to know everyone. But
it's just like hearing people who aren't nice and just like the weird stories about them. Yeah. Like, it crushes your dreams, but no one's disappointed me too much so far.
I was going to say, have you met anyone yet that's been like, you don't have to name names, obviously, but have you met anyone who's been like, ooh, not as nice as I thought they'd be?
There's one very famous British comedian who I was very disappointed in. So one of my jobs is to greet them at talent door, is what we call it, and take them down to their dressing rooms. Mm. And Television Centre in White City, it's just all corridors. Like, it's a long walk from talent door to their dressing room. And quite often they arrive with entourage and them hair and makeup people. Yeah. So you don't really have to chat to them. But a lot of the time they just turn up on their own if they don't need security. So this one British comedian, I think he has that sort of ego where he thinks everyone fancies him. So I was trying to make polite chit chat because it's a long walk. Yeah. And he just wasn't having it. He was just giving me like one word replies. So we just walked in silence for about 4 minutes.
That's so awkward.
But
also not your fault at all.
No. And his team were really weird because they were like, could we get some hot chocolates, but only like the rich ones, like we don't want the watery stuff. So we're having to find nice hot chocolates. So I ended up going to Soho House, like across the road, being like, can I have 2 of your finest hot chocolates, please? Yes. And they look at me like, you're really weird.
But like really, really rich, like, as well.
They need to be really chocolatey. And they just like try and claim that they're for the British comedian, but
they're not at all.
It's not. But yeah,
you know what, not surprised. Although he's the kind of person I would expect to have a massive entourage.
No, he just I mean he only had a few people with him, but he turned up on his own, like there were people waiting in his dressing room for him and his hair and makeup.
I guess they don't live with him, they're not going to follow him around all day.
No, but you do get people like that quite often. The celebrities' people are the worst because they think that they're entitled to the same treatment that the celebrity's getting. And
you're like me. You're not important. You could not be here and the show could keep going. Mm-hmm. But the celebrity, we need them on.
So during the show, we work in the green rooms and all the entourage can like sit in the green rooms and have drinks and watch the show on the TV screens. And one time I was standing behind the bar and this woman sort of looks at me and is like, ahem. And I'm like, oh, can I help you? And she was like, I thought I caught you watching the television for a second. And I was like, I am, because what am I meant to do standing behind him? Like, obviously I'm going to watch the TV. And she was just like, you shouldn't be doing that. I was like, who are you to tell me what to do? Excuse you.
Not even like your boss or even working for the same company.
Just, I was just like, you, like, what is your problem? Very annoying.
People. Yeah. I guess you must meet kind of everyone. All the really nice people. Because I imagine there are some people that you meet and they're lovely. Or they've got people with them who are lovely.
Yeah, I can talk about the lovely people. Because I'm sure if they ever listened, they wouldn't mind.
Oh, well, you know, we have a really big listener.
A lot of other British comedians. So Rob Beckett, Alan Carr. Really, really lovely. Richard Osman was a very pleasant surprise. He was really, really nice.
Is he so tall in person?
He is so tall.
Because on TV he looks tall. And I think that's quite impressive itself. Like, people who look tall on TVs, everyone kind of looks the same. The TV's always, like, weird, like, distorts it, all the cameras. But he is a giant.
Yeah, he was having to crouch down through doorways. And it was just me and him walking down. And he was just really lovely and chatting and asking what I do. And, like, am I enjoying being a runner? And because I'd only just really started out when he came on the show. But yeah, he was lovely. In terms of like Hollywood stars, Austin Butler, my boyfriend, he doesn't know, but he is my boyfriend.
One day he'll know.
He was really, really lovely, and his security were really nice. And they arrived at the door before he arrived and were sort of like, oh, like, you lead the way, like, I'll introduce you. But looking back, I think he might have thought I was more important than I actually was. I think he might have thought I was a producer. That's because he was really like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, and like shook my hand and like chatted with me the whole way. And he had like a massive group of people, and he just walked up front with me chatting away, and I was just like, maybe this is lovely. But
I mean, that's lovely, but he seems like the kind of person, especially, was that must have been when he was doing his Elvis press tour.
Yeah,
he was probably used to talking to the very important people, because Elvis, I mean, the film itself is amazing, but it was doing really, really well, and everyone, he was on every show, and everyone knew him. So yeah, not too much of a leap for him to think you're like running the whole thing.
Yeah, but if he did think I was just a runner, he was still equally as nice.
Even then, he was being nice. You know what I mean? Like, you're never gonna, it doesn't matter the reason, I guess, as long as people are nice.
Beautiful as well. He's so beautiful. Oh, yeah.
An amazing man.
Yeah, but you get like quite a few people walking in and out, and like cool people to meet. And I did the John Bishop show as well, and that wasn't as A-list, but the guests on there were,
but
like,
you still get quite a lot of,
yeah, still like quite British people. And like, I had quite a lot of interaction with John Bishop himself, and he was really, really nice. And at the wrap party, he got in the photo booth with all the runners and like thanked us all, so that was really, really nice.
It does seem like you do get a little bit of like a family vibe going on there.
Yeah, I mean, and the production company I work for is quite small. We're owned by ITV, but it is small compared to other ones. We don't make as many shows as other places do. And yeah, we do all get on really well, and everyone's so lovely and helping each other out. And they know that the runners, you don't want to be a runner forever. Like, you want to move up to like production manager or production coordinator, or be a researcher, a producer. Yeah. Like, there's so many different routes, and they all know that they were a runner once, because everyone starts out as a runner, and so they're always happy to help and give you advice and give you contact. So it's a really nice environment to work in.
Yeah, it feels like, because everyone's kind of been through it, there's that a bit of appreciation for it.
Yeah, definitely. And everyone's got some horror stories and like weird demands by celebrity guests. Yes. And
I can
like
imagine
that.
You all could just sit down and have these conversations, like stuff that probably should never get shared, because it will like ruin celebrities' images and stuff like that. Just have those conversations for hours and hours.
Yes, it's good fun to talk about. I'm definitely in like the right environment for celebrity, because I love all things like entertainment and things like that. But yeah, it's a weird world.
Well, you know, maybe, hopefully, you know, you'll meet the right celebrity. They'll be like, hey, you do really well on Strictly, and we'll make it work somehow.
Or I could try and work on Strictly, so then like I could get like a little private lesson from Gorka or Ali Ash. Like, any of them amazing. Would be fine.
Just like, that'd hey, I was just wondering how you did that.
Yeah.
I just, no, it's fine. Like, I don't have to dance. Oh, you want me to dance with you? And they don't even say anything. And then you just get up there like, yeah, I'm ready.
I mean, they need stand-ins, because during rehearsal, if you've got people who aren't there yet, I had to be Roisin Conaty on the John Bishop show. So,
did you try doing an impression of her?
No, I didn't. But I had to go on, like, stand in the little box and wave at the audience, then come out, give John Bishop 2 kisses, and sit on the sofa and, like, be interviewed, which is very strange. So they might need a stand in and Strictly. I'll be waltzed around the ballroom happily.
Fingers crossed for you. Fingers crossed. All right, I'm going to ask you the questions I ask everybody at the end, because I think I won't keep you here for too long.
Got things down to do. Mooch.
Mooch, and then we've got Ocean to go to.
We do.
The two questions I ask at the end, I'm going to ask them both at the same time. Answer whichever one you feel like answering first. You can answer whatever you like. They're not. I feel like I'm really building up the questions now. I don't mean to. The first question is just, what are you proudest of up till now? It can be academic. It can be not academic. It can be job. It can be life. It can be whatever you feel. Probably just whatever first springs to mind. And the other question is, what are you looking forward to?
Ooh. So I think proudest would probably be having the Graham Norton show as my first running credit. I think it's opened quite a lot of doors for me. Just it gives you something really interesting to talk about. It's one of the biggest shows in the UK, so to start there is so exciting, because I'm like, oh, like surely the only way is up. Love Island is next. So I think definitely that, and just really being thrown into the deep end and like being given that opportunity. And yeah, and also I think like last summer was just like a really good summer for me. I pushed and pushed with URN contacts that I'd made at like the SRAs, and got some work experience at Global off of that, and like loved it. Got to meet Ryan Gosling, like amazing. Life made. So I just think like that whole period was just like really, really good, and really exciting. So I'd say like that's probably my proudest. Yeah. And what I'm looking forward to, hopefully the next series of the Graham Norton show starts in September. If I'm still there, we'll cross our fingers.
And if you're not still there, hopefully it's because you're at Strictly.
Yes. Or preparing for Love Island winter. We'll see.
The only other two options you'll take.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to just seeing what's next, really. Hopefully moving out. I'm still at my parents at the moment, which is fine, but I'd love to move back with friends. I think coming back to Nottingham, you see everyone living yeah. with their friends, and you're just like, oh, like I miss the freedom of being able to do that. So hopefully that. Just seeing where my career takes me, really. I'm always open to working in radio full time, so maybe if go over there if that comes yeah. up. Yeah. Yeah, just seeing what happens. It's all very
exciting.
It feels
like you're at a very exciting point.
Yeah, it is cool. Like it's nice. It is very quiet at the moment because we have got nothing in production, yeah. but we've got something in pre-production, which is cool. A comedy special, so that's a bit different to yeah. what I'm used to. But that's not being filmed until October, I believe. But yeah, it's just excited for the summer. Excited to see what's next. Who knows who I'll meet along the way.
You gotta like write a list of all the celebrities you want to meet, and then somehow give them to whoever's in charge of getting talent on the Graham Norton show. Just yes. go, these people.
Well, I mean, I do tell my boss, like, I'd like to meet this person.
Yeah.
Because we were meant to have the guy from You who plays Joe Goldberg.
Yes. I just forget his real name. I know him from Gossip Girl.
Yeah. Dan Humphries, but yeah. not Dan Humphries. Yeah. What's his name?
He's not called Joe. That's his character on You. I know it's wrong.
Penn Badgley.
It's because he's got a unique name.
He has got a unique name. So we were there was talk of him coming on at some point to promote yeah. You season 4, but it didn't work out. And I literally turned to my boss and I was like, I would have taken him to his dressing room. And my boss was like, Anna, I wouldn't trust you.
He was like, Anna, just, no, you're going to be other side of
it. It was like, seeing how you were with Austin Butler, I don't know. Because I was just like, I love him, please let me be with him. And he was just like, I don't know, like
safeguarding of the celebrity.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm sorry, but I just love him.
Well, yeah. It sounds exciting. Hopefully he'll be on next time. There'll be more seasons of You.
I mean, if Harry Styles is on, my sister is literally like, I will be there. She's like, I'm yeah. coming for him. And I'm just like, okay. Like,
she'll probably try and impersonate you at work, so like take all your ideas and stuff.
I mean,
like,
people say we look alike, she might get away with it, but she'd have to dye her hair blonde.
You know what, I think anyone would be willing to dye their hair blonde to meet Harry Styles. Definitely. I think that's fair.
Fingers crossed for him. That would be cool.
Amazing. Well, I will wrap it up there. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air on Your End, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.